Let's read together Zechariah chapter 12. Here we have the beginning of Zechariah's second prophetic burden, which he was to lift up and proclaim to the people. In this chapter, we see the future national repentance of Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9 of this chapter. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion, and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah, and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Let's consider a few background notes now as we begin our study of this chapter 12 of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12 begins the last section of this book of prophetic scripture. Remember, chapters 1 through 6 contain 8 prophetic visions. Chapters 7 and 8 contain 4 prophetic messages, and chapters 9 through 14 contain 2 prophetic burdens or oracles. We already looked at Zechariah's first prophetic burden in chapters 9 through 11. Now we will look at the second prophetic burden in chapters 12 through 14. Now remember, in the historical context, the whole book of Zechariah was given to the people of Israel who had returned from their 70-year captivity in Babylon. The book of Zechariah was given to them in order to encourage them and motivate them to finish the job of rebuilding the temple under the leadership of Zerubbabel. He was the governor at that time. The prophecy of Zechariah was encouraging to these returned captives because it not only predicted the completion of the rebuilt temple, but it looked forward to the glorious future of Israel under the kingship of the Messiah. Now, because the Messiah was rejected by Israel when the Lord came the first time, a number of these prophecies in Zechariah await to be fulfilled when the Lord comes the second time. But they will be fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled in reference to Israel, that is, the Jewish people. Let's not make the mistake of spiritualizing these promises away from Israel by making the church the new Israel. Let's not spiritualize away these prophecies that haven't been fulfilled to the church by making the church the new Israel. No, Israel is Israel. For example, the Israel and Judah and Jerusalem that we just read about in this chapter are not different names for the church. No, the church is distinct from Israel throughout the Bible. The next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church, which is imminent. That is, it could take place at any time. Then will come the tribulation period of 7 years, followed by the return of the Lord to this earth to set up his earthly kingdom, which will extend for 1,000 years. Now, this tribulation period and the return of the Lord to the earth to set up his earthly kingdom, we call the end times. And in the prophecy of Zechariah, as well as in a number of the other prophetic books, the phrase, in that day, quote unquote, in that day, refers to these end times. In fact, in this second prophetic burden of Zechariah, in that day is mentioned 15 times. 5 times in chapter 12, 3 times in chapter 13, and 7 times in chapter 14, in that day. So much for background. Now let's move to our doctrinal points for this chapter. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. In that day, Israel will be delivered from all their enemies. In that day, Israel will be delivered from all their enemies. In these verses that we just read, we see that in the end times, all nations will be gathered against Israel, whose capital is Jerusalem, as we see there in verse 3. All nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now, in light of current events, it's easy to see how this condition of things could come about in the near future. But the nations will find that they have bitten off more than they can chew when they attack Israel. They will reel and stagger as a result. Verse 2. They will hurt themselves on this rock that they cannot move. Verse 3. And the key to Israel's deliverance will be the Lord himself. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and of all life. Verse 1. The nations are no match for the Lord who will defend Israel. He will strike down the enemy armies. Verse 4. He will deliver the land of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, verses 5 through 9. And this will all take place as part of the battles at the end of the tribulation period when the Lord returns. This is the time in the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2 when the image of Gentile power is crushed to powder and blown away. Then the dynasty of David will be reestablished. The Lord Jesus, the Son of David, will establish his earthly kingdom and deliver Jerusalem will be his capital. Jerusalem will finally be a city of true peace. What a great day that will be. In that day, Israel will be delivered from all their enemies. Doctrinal point number 2. In that day, Israel will look on their Messiah whom they pierced. In that day, Israel will look on their Messiah whom they pierced. Verses 10 through 14. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. We know that during the tribulation period, there will be a great spiritual awakening among the Jewish people. Read Romans chapter 11 in this connection. The groundwork for this awakening is taking place even today. You know, I was speaking to a Jewish Christian evangelist in Israel recently, and he told me that he saw more interest in Jesus as the Messiah amongst the Jewish people last year than in all of his former 25 years of ministry put together. So God is at work, but this is just the beginning. During the tribulation period, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, there will be a great spiritual awakening among the Jewish people. This will be when the 144,000 Jewish evangelists of Revelation chapter 7 preach the gospel of the coming kingdom and the return of the Messiah. Many will turn to the Lord at that time. And then the Lord will return, and Israel will look on their Messiah whom they pierced. Verse 10, then they will look on me whom they pierced. This prophecy is not just a prediction of the piercing that would take place at the crucifixion of Christ. It certainly is that, as John 19, verse 37 indicates. But this prophecy looks on to the second coming of Christ, when believing Israel will mourn with great mourning when they see the Lord. Israel did not mourn at the crucifixion, but they will mourn then. This is the believing remnant of Israel that will come out of the great tribulation. Verse 11 says that the mourning will be like the mourning at Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. This is a reference to the tragic death of good King Josiah. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 35. All of Judah mourned for Josiah as if an only son had been killed. What a tremendous, touching scene this will be when Israel weeps and receives the Messiah that they once rejected. You know, we have a great picture of this wonderful reunion in the story of Joseph. Remember how the brothers hated Joseph and sold him as a slave down to Egypt? But God raised Joseph up to be ruler over Egypt. And then the brothers had to come down to Egypt in a time of famine and bow down before Joseph. Joseph did not reveal himself at first, but put his brothers through a series of tests to see whether or not they had repented of their sin and to see whether or not they had had a change of heart. Then Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. I'm reading Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 4. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." What a moment that must have been when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And what a moment it will be when the Lord Jesus returns and Israel receives him as their Messiah, the Messiah that they once rejected. In that day, Israel will look on their Messiah whom they pierced. What about practical application from Zechariah chapter 12? Have you mourned the death of Christ by yourself? Have you mourned the death of Christ by yourself? Notice in verses 12 through 14 that the mourning for the Messiah is on an individual basis. The fact that the wives of the different families mourn by themselves emphasizes his personal and individual position. Whether it be people from prominent families or ordinary families, there is individual mourning in reference to the Messiah. You know, salvation is always an individual matter. Someone else can't repent for you, and you don't get saved because people around you are saved. No, salvation is a personal matter. Have you come to that place in your life where you have realized that the Lord Jesus died for your sins personally? Have you mourned the death of Christ by yourself? Have you realized that it was your sins that put Christ on the cross and that he had to die for your sins? Have you mourned the death of Christ by yourself?